Hello, property nomads. Hope you're doing well. There's a lot of talk, as always, about insulation and people wasting a lot of unnecessary cash on energy. And the most latest one comes from the Mirror, who claim that millions of households are wasting £500 a year on energy bills due to poor insulation. So this is a topic that we have covered on and off on the podcast, and we thought it'd be a very good idea just to recap what you could do to potentially lower your bills in your home. Of course, this will apply if you're listening to this and you're a landlord, landlady, etc. Then there's going to be things here that could apply to your rental properties. Of course, if you listen to this and you're a homeowner, similar thing as well. This will just apply to your own home. So I'm going to go through some very blanket advice as such, things that you should watch out for moving forwards. So how are millions of households wasting apparently £500 a year on energy? Well, what this report done, and as usual, link will be in the show notes, so-called experts have analysed 25 million homes and found apparently only 55% meet various standards from 1976. They also claim that a lot of those homes lose more heat through poor wall cavity, loft and floor insulation and double glazing than modern regulations insist on today. The same report also says that the percentage of properties with an insulation age of 2002 or younger, i.e. any time between now and 2002, that's grown from 8% in 2022 to 18% in 2024. So in short, yes, we're slowly getting better at having more economical homes, but we're a long way off from where we need to be. And there's going to be numerous reasons for that. It could be the age of homes. A lot of our homes were built either late Victorian era or in the early part of the 19th century. So any time between 1900 and say 1920, 1930. And that creates its own challenges in terms of just generic thermal quality. But if we attack these things individually, so again, going back, it says poor wall cavity, poor loft, poor floor insulation and double glazing. So you could be losing heat through all of those methods. You could have an inefficient boiler. That could be a mains gas boiler. That could be an oil boiler, whatever it is. So many people will have really old style boilers and they're less energy efficient. And you could have a lot of, although it cites double glazing, I've done, been around numerous homes where the glazing has been poorly fitted. So the glazing might be up to date, but the window fittings are very poor. Now, the caveats to all of this are going to be that you might live in a home that's in a conservation area, and that conservation area might only allow certain types of windows and doors. You might also live in a listed building. And again, there's similar restrictions there when it comes to dealing with the fabric of the home. And if you happen to live in a grade one listed building, then good luck, because yeah, that counts for inside and outside. But let's try and attack these things differently. So what could you do if you were concerned about wasting a lot of cash per year on energy? Well, the things that I would recommend that you do would be that the local council would be a very good place to start. Now, some councils are better than others. Some councils seem to have a lot more cash available for housing improvements. There are going to be certain qualifications that you need, or sorry, not qualifications, income requirements maybe, or maybe your energy certificate will need to be a certain rating in order for you to qualify for potential help from the council. So my blanket advice would be, whatever council you're in, find out who the eco person is or the grant scheme person is at your local council. It's always worth asking, is there any funding available to improve the efficiency of my home? If the answer is yes, great. Then what can you do to explore that? If the answer is no, then it is what it is. Go back next year and ask the same question. Because at the end of the day, if there is funding available to get loft insulation or wall insulation, and you're going to get it installed for free or with a minor contribution, then it's worth looking at. Absolutely. So go and find the person at your local council that deals with these sorts of things and ask them the question, is there any funding available? Let's just say you don't want to go down that route for whatever reason, then I would look at the loft. Loft is probably a very good place to start. Why? Because generally speaking, loft insulation is a relatively inexpensive thing to buy. So you could buy all these rolls of insulation, obviously unroll them, put them in your loft, and you'll find that increasing the thickness of the insulation in your loft is advantageous. Of course, I'm working on the assumption that you have a loft space. If you live in a flat and you've got another flat above you, obviously this isn't applicable. I'm being very generic on this podcast. I understand that it might not cover necessarily your home or parts of your portfolio. I'm just keeping it as generic as possible. Wall insulation is another one, and this can be quite expensive depending on the type of home that you live in and the type of insulation that's needed. So if you've got a cavity wall, so you've got sort of a bonding brick on the outside, you then have a gap, and then you have almost like a breeze block on the inside, and that gap is what we would call cavity. So you have to look and figure out if that cavity has been filled or not. So there's ways to do that by looking at the brick marks on the wall. Are there fill marks? If there's not, then maybe not, especially if it's an older cavity property. If you live in a home that was built in the 1990s, chances are that cavity would have been filled because that's a building regulation requirements of the 90s. Whereas in the 50s, 60s, 70s, it wasn't a requirement. So you might have an empty cavity there. Again, speak to your local council about any grants, any loans, or anything like that, because that might make that substantially cheaper than getting companies in to do cavity wall insulation for you. Now, if you live in a solid brick property, so again, these are traditionally the older style properties. There's two ways that insulation can be done when it comes to wall insulation. You would have external wall insulation, i.e., it goes on the outside, or you could have internal wall insulation, i.e., insulation goes on the inside. And that can be quite a finicky job, but that will add a layer of thickness to your walls and it will act as a very good protection there. Just beware if you're doing it on the outside of your home, that will change the appearance of your home. If you're doing it on the inside, that will decrease the usable floor space. Not a big deal if you live in a bigger property, but if you are in a little two up, two down mid terrace, even a couple of square meters can make a big difference to your living space. Floor insulation as well is something that can be considered. There's mainly two types of floor. You'd have a solid floor, so maybe you've got a concrete floor or a suspended timber floor. And the two ways that I've seen people combat this is if you've got a solid floor, you would normally just put a layer of insulation down, then smooth out that floor and crack on that way. Or if you've got suspended timber floor, the main method that I've seen is that you put either like a glass wall or a brown wall, pretty much the same stuff that goes up in your loft, but you would put that in netting in between the joists on the suspended timber floor. A lot of people don't like to do floor insulation purely because if you're living at home or you've got tenants, you don't really want to cause them hassle because unless you've got a big floor void, i.e., it's easy to get underneath the floor, then chances are your floor's got to come up for the insulation to go in for the floor to go back down. And that can be quite a complicated thing to do, especially if you've got all of your stuff in the home as well. So, with these things, so floors, loft, walls, glazing, again, with windows, windows is an easy one. If you've got a single plane of glass, a single pane of glass, I should say, then it's single glazing. If you've got two layers of glass, then it's double glazing. There's different standards and different thicknesses that you can get. But normally there's a glass mark that will indicate how new that glazing is, or there's a date stamp on the metal bar in between the glazing units. But sometimes windows can just be poorly fitted, which is why windows are drafty. Same with front doors. Sometimes they're just really poorly fitted. So all these things that you can look at. Again, what I would say is that you can go to go to your local council. There's a lot of grant funding going around at the moment for people to improve the their homes. It all depends on the council that you speak to, and it all depends how you qualify for that. It could be down to income, it could be down to EPC rating, energy performance certificate rating. From a landlord's point of view, it could be down to the fact if your tenants are on benefits, then you qualify. If your tenants aren't on benefits, you don't qualify. So you've got all these different things that you can look at. Other things that you could look at would be heating, so boilers. Look at them as well. It could be, do you have a room thermostat? Do you have TRVs, thermostatic radiator valves? And the more warmer that you can keep your home, the better it is for you. If it's your own home, the better it is for your tenants as well. But you'd be surprised at the level of funding that is available to help improve your home and your portfolio, etc. It's just about finding the right people and asking the right questions. We've done podcasts before where there's been horror stories of things that have gone wrong. I would always say, through experience, be careful and do your homework on all the other companies maybe that are offering these services, because if they're not regulated or they haven't got the right certificates or the right requirements, then that could lead to disaster. And normally say going through the council is probably the best thing to do, just because there's that sense of familiarity, I think, to be perfectly honest with you, and that provides people quite a lot of comfort. As usual, I'll put the link to the article in the show notes, but there are definitely ways that you can improve the energy efficiency of your home, and that will hopefully lead to savings on some form of bills, and it gives you things to look out for next time you're going around your own home looking at things, or the next time your lettings agent or yourself is going around your property portfolio. Small favor to ask, please do subscribe and like the podcast. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Do also head over to our YouTube channel as well. The content over there is different from what we produce on the podcast. Thank you very much, and see you in the next episode.